You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 201, World War II book review. Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of seven, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? All right, welcome back to this week's episode. This is something I'm always excited, but this is something I was wanting to do with Reels and kind of highlight some different books we were reading and studying, and it just started to feel like too much, and I get so excited and I want to talk about them too much, so I'm going to do it in a podcast episode. So then I can kind of do like a gigantic book review of the things that we studied the last few months with World War II. Now, this was the most in-depth studying we have ever done as World War II in our homeschool. I was thinking about it, and probably the main reason is because I was mostly just teaching to Tess, who's 14, and Brigham, who is 11. And so they were ready for some meatier content, and good laws, it was so much fun. So we did all of January and all of February of just World War II. And I'm going to take you through, this is like a big book review of some of our favorites. I'm going to upload it to my Amazon stuff so you can read them all, read the reviews, see if they're right for your family or appropriate for your children, all those types of things. So let's dig in. So if you are watching on YouTube, I will be showing you the books because I have a massive stack here. And if you're on the podcast, just know I'll put a link in so you can go and check out all the books and see them. So the very first book I actually cannot find because Master George is obsessed with it and he always is taking it. I was double checking if it was on my desk somewhere, but it's not. So it is called Simple History. And this was A Simple Guide to World War II by Daniel Turner. And they are tiny little books, like super duper thin, tons of cartoons, but it gives an overview of the highlights of war. So we use that as my guide for World War I, and then I just used it for my guide for World War II. So I just loved it because it was super easy for me to then kind of follow a guide and then have books to supplement and different people we would study and all those types of things. But I loved having a very simple book that just gave a very broad overview. So that was super good. I've really enjoyed those books, and they actually have YouTube videos where they will go in and talk about a lot of the different things as well. So if you like to do a video, you can do that. So that's the only book I don't have. I couldn't find it. We even checked under George's bed, but we couldn't find it. So I know it's gonna pop up here sooner or later. Okay, this one I did do a reel about on Instagram, because this one is a little bit beefier, but it was fantastic for me to read. And then I just kind of filled my kids in on the details. So this is World War II, The Rest of the Story and How It Affects You Today by Richard J. Mayberry. And these are part of the Uncle Eric books. I love, love, love these books. Like I said, a little bit more beefier. Actually, my Briggy said he wants to read it now because I had read it and I enjoyed it so much. So we'll see. Tess read it when she was a little bit younger and she's like, I felt like I couldn't understand it. But I read this to give me a lot more depth of understanding the war. How in the world did World War II start? What was going on, right? And going back and talking about the Treaty of Versailles. And then everything, it just dives in, and it's a lot of government stuff and the politics behind the war. So instead of just like Holocaust, evil, awful, yes, 100% agree. And there's so much more, and it's so complex. Like, how were so many people on board with this? And like, how did they get there? And all the political opponents against each other and whatnot. So such a good book. This one, again, I used it for myself and I read it, and then I could fill them in on a ton more details. Okay, so this next one, I read it. Actually, it was kind of fun. I read all these books. So we didn't read all of these this term, but I have read all of these. And so I'll tell you which ones my kids read this one, and maybe somebody read when like my big kids had read. So this one is fantastic. Hitler, you got to read about him if you're going to read about World War II. And this is by Albert Marin. And so, so interesting. It was so interesting that Hitler and Stalin had a lot of the same childhood, where they had a very abusive, mean, angry father and an overly doting mother. So that was really interesting that both of them had that. And talked about how Hitler was born in Austria. That's kind of was near the border of Germany. And like his life and his failed attempt at art, that he didn't get into art school, all those types of things. He was in World War One. I don't know. Like, I didn't know that until I read this book. And he like should have been killed many times, and he was super lucky and wouldn't be killed. So this one just gives a like an in-depth view of who this man was. And when he failed art school and when he wasn't winning at life, like he was homeless and he wasn't killing it at all. He started blaming the Jews and the communists for all of his problems, right? Like, I would have got into art school, but the Jewish people, they kept me out, and this would have worked, but those communists did what not to me. So it was so interesting that he just blamed so many of his problems upon other people, and like that he was voted in, and that the German nation actually voted him in because they were so destitute after the Treaty of Versailles, and how he was able to do that. And it was interesting too, because after World War One and the Treaty of Versailles and Germany's army got stripped down, he was no longer in the army, but he found out he was pretty good. And so that's how he kind of got back into the political arena, got into the political arena. And he was really, really good at making speeches and super powerful. And so it was kind of his speeches that got a lot of people fired up and going in into like the kind of person he was. Now, this book does not go into any of the horrors of a concentration camp. I'll go through all that. But so it is not like a super disturbing book, if that makes sense, because I know the concentration camps and the Holocaust can be a really heavy topic. But this just is really good insight of who Hitler was and how somebody was capable of so much evil. So fantastic book. Okay, so if you have younger kids, I didn't have anybody read this one this term, but my kids have read this before. So this is Snow Treasure by Marie McSwiggin. Hopefully I'm saying that correct. So it's a classic story of courage and adventure. And this one, I read this one a few years ago, and this is Nazi troops parachuted into Peter's tiny Norwegian village and held it captive. So just like total cute story, true story, right? What these little Norwegian children did to help when the World War II started affecting their country. Fantastic one. Great for kids. Like teens would find it entertaining, right? But younger kids, maybe late elementary age kids, really good one. Also could be a read aloud. That'd be fun. Okay, this last one. I remember I did this one when my older kids were young. I did it as a read aloud. Very engaging. And Tess actually read it this term. She's like, that looks really good. So forgive me when I mispronounce people's names. Know that it is not intentional. And I love people, but sometimes names I struggle with. So this is Number the Stars by Lois, I believe, Lowry. Beautiful, beautiful book. So this one takes place in Denmark and talks about this little friend, and that she has a Jewish friend, right? And trying to help the Jews in Denmark. So another very sweet story, definitely elementary age kids up will love it. Super simple, super beautiful. All right, now I have a couple of historical fiction books. So these are the two. Brigham read both of these next ones. So the first one is Resistance by Jennifer A. Nielsen. I'm a big fan of her historical fiction books. I'll actually have another one in here, but we talked about this with World War One that she had come out with. And I was really excited because I had never understood World War One a whole lot. And so I love a historical fiction because it gives me a lot of excitement and motivation to continue to go and study and maybe read a historical document and just dive into that. So she gets me really excited about history and understanding it. So this one was took a lot of real events and then obviously made it onto one person. So all the events were real, and the things that happened and smuggling people in and out of the ghetto and doing different things like that. But I am a huge fan of people standing up for what's right. And like, I love when people are like, okay, I'm scared. Like what the Nazis are doing is awful and is evil. And like, I'm going to figure out a way to fight against them. And it was so interesting. There was in this book, it talks about this mother and she, I believe she's just Christian or whatnot. Right. So, but she knows what's going on in these ghettos. And she's like, this is wrong. This is so wrong. But like, what do I do? I don't know if her husband was away at war, if he would had died, but I remember her. I believe that she was a single mom and had children. And she, what she could do was she would bake bread, and when nobody was looking, she'd throw it over the wall. And so she's like, I'm doing what I can without putting my own children's lives in danger. And so I love it. Like, we have people who stand up and they're trying to like full blown, face it head on. And other people are like, I can do small and simple things, like, but I'm going to do something. So another great one. All right. This was another historical fiction, and it's Echo by Pam Munoz Ryan. So this one looks beefy, and my Brigham read it. Those of you on the podcast, it's over 500 pages. And so Briggy was like, what? This book is so big. Like, I think I gave it to him a few weeks into February, and he was like, there's no way. And then he got way into it, and he's like, wow, I finished that whole thing in a very short amount of time. And so this takes three different stories and kind of intertwines them. And it's interesting because it'll like do one story and then leave you on a cliffhanger, then one full story and leave it on a cliffhanger. And you're like, what? So he said on the third one, when he got to that last cliffhanger, he was like, this is ridiculous. I have to know what happens. And the last part of the book weaves them all together. And he was like, that was so good. So Tessa's read this before. She didn't read it this semester, but she read it in her co-op. That's where I found this one. And it was beautiful. So really fun. Okay. So now we have, I think in my order over here. Okay. Now we have this one. So I have not read every book from the Christian Heroes Then and Now series, but I've read quite a few of them. And the ones I've read, I really enjoy. And this is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So this is Christian Heroes Then and Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, In the Midst of Wickedness by Janet and Jeff Benge. And once again, hopefully I'm saying their name right. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German man, and I'm just going to read what the back says. Let's see. As he sang the German national anthem, he contemplated the devastation Hitler and the Nazis were perpetuating on Europe. Dietrich would do whatever he could to stop them, even if it meant pulling the trigger on the Führer himself. He had thought about it from every angle, and his conscience was clear. So Dietrich ends up trying to kill Hitler, and his story of like what happened, why like he got to that place where he was like, this is not okay, what's happening to these people. So this was a really good one. Tess has read it. Brigham has read it. I've read it. We all really liked it. So great book. All right. One of my absolute favorite books. If you were going to study about World War II, oh, I love this one. The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. Oh my goodness. This one, I think I've had every single one of my kids read this at some time because I just love this. I love when people like stand up to tyranny and fight for like what's right. And they're just like, guess what? People shouldn't be treated this way. I don't care if they're a different religion than I am. I don't care if they have a different skin color than I have. Like, people are humans, and I just love them, and I want to take care of them, and I want to help them. And if any of them are being persecuted, I love when people stand up and are like, no, this is wrong. And so Corrie Ten Boom, she was in Amsterdam. The Nazis had come in there, and they made a secret room where they could hide Jewish families. And this is written by Corrie Ten Boom. This is her story. And like, it's beautiful. I think she's an amazing human. And so this is hands down one of my favorite books, life-changing. Okay. So with World War II, because a lot of times we focus on Europe and the Germans and whatnot, but there were three Axis powers, right? So you had Germany, you had Italy, and you had Japan. So part of that World War II book, I love that it actually touches on all of those and doesn't just stay in Europe, but it actually like gave me a much better understanding about Pearl Harbor and about Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the atomic bombs. So understanding all of those pieces. So this book is also a true story. It's called Hiroshima by John Hersey. And it's, I don't know that I would say it's like intense, like it's not graphic. Well, I mean, it's what happened to the poor Japanese people when the bomb went off. And Like, that's evil. Like, reading all of these books has just confirmed my belief that I think war is wrong and I think murder is wrong. But Hiroshima was just went through, I think it's five different people's stories of what happened. Like, these are their true stories of what happened when the bomb went off. And I mean, it's grotesque. People's skin was burned off and buildings would collapse on people and the rivers were boiling. And then you had all the people just dying from the sickness of the stuff that was in the air and whatnot. So it goes through five different people's stories. So Brigham and Tess did read this one, and it reads a little bit more informational. Like, it's not as like a story-ish, but like, it's just more like, this is what's happening. So it wasn't like their most exciting book, but it was really good understanding of what the Japanese people went through when the bomb went off in Hiroshima. It doesn't talk about Nagasaki, but it goes through five different people with Hiroshima. So that was really a really eye-opening book for me of just understanding that. So I probably would not read that to younger children. Briggy's an intense 11-year-old, and he's always trying to keep up with the big kids. So he was able to read it and he was okay. Tess is 14, so she was fine, but I wouldn't do much younger than that. Okay, so now we have some, let's see. Well, I'll just tell you. So speaking of Pearl Harbor and the Pacific side of the war, this is another true story and such a beautiful, beautiful book. Is Unbroken. And this is The Olympian's Journey from Airman to Castaway to Captive by Laura Hillenbrandt. And I just forgot his name, Louis Zamperini, I believe. I want to say that is Louis Zamperini. Oh my goodness. I read this one years ago, and this one said it was adapted for young adults. And so I remember when I read the other one that there was an intense scene in the prisoner of war camp, the POW camp. And my daughter goes, that wasn't in this book. So I'm guessing you want to get the adapted for young adults. But it talks about Louis Zamperini was kind of a punk when he was a little kid, and he was stealing stuff, and he was not living a great life. And I think it's his brother, but he got him into running, and he ends up winning an Olympics, and he ends up being really great. And then he goes into war, right? And goes into a prisoner of war camp in, I want to say, Japan, and his experience with that. And super duper powerful book. Tess read this one, but Brigham did not. And he was okay with that. And I read it and I loved it. So I told my daughter we'd go and watch the movie because she did finish that book. Okay, this next one. Okay, I saw this one recommended on Well Educated Heart, and let's just call it what it is. I have a book problem. I am like, friends, like, I'm getting rid of a ton of my clothes, and like, I'm always just wearing black sweaters. I'm like, that's easy. I got rid of most of our toys. I am just like always trying to simplify our lives except for books. I'm like, where can we get another bookcase, babe? Like, I guess we could just start sleeping on books. I don't know. Like, I love, love, love books. And it was interesting. I was watching, now I just spaced her name, but basically some way to be more of a minimalist. And she was like, I don't do a lot of books. And she's like, but if that's you and you're willing to upkeep them and dust them and all that stuff. And I was like, I am 100% willing to do that. So anyways, somebody recommended this on Well Educated Heart, and that was at my door 1 to 2 days later, thanks to Amazon. So this one is just a story, a novel, and it's called The German Wife. Now, there is a little bit of language in here. I read it, Tess read it, and it was funny because at first Tess was like, this is kind of boring. I don't really love this. And then she got into it and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing any other school today. I'm just finishing this book. So I love when we get to meet people and see their perspectives, because I do not like when we lump in an overgeneralization of like, Hitler was bad and Nazis were bad, so every German is bad. It's like, ugh. No, I do not like that. So this was so good to see that perspective, that this family was not for Hitler and was not for the socialism that was going on in their country. And they were not for those things, but they got stuck there. And so kind of what they did, and they had to play the game. And a lot of times you had to have your children go to Hitler's Youth and do those things and kind of put on a facade and a front, or your children would turn you in. And the German wife, she, her best friend, who was like a sister to her, helped raise her children, loved her, was Jewish. And she had to basically say goodbye to her, and just like, I don't know if I can ever see you again, at the risk of I'm going to lose my own children and it's not safe for you, and all those types of things. This was one of my favorite parts of this book because it put it into such perspective. And this is not going to ruin a plot or anything, because it happens right at the very beginning of, like, it jumps back and forth from the 1950s to the 1930s. And so in the 1950s, she's coming to the United States, this German wife, and that's how it starts out with, right? And so some of the people, they go to Alabama, and some of the people there are like, we hate you because you evil Germans, and like, how awful to kill these Jewish people and blah, blah, blah. And we would have never allowed somebody to do that. And what she said to them, she goes, really? Like, you are segregated. You live in a segregated community, and you are going to get mad at me for not like storming the streets of these concentration camps. And it was so interesting because I grew up in Utah. I don't think there's ever been segregation in Utah. Maybe I'm just naive, but like, it's not something, like, I don't know. Anyways. So these people grew up in this area where they were like, people were segregated, and you have white buses and black buses, and you have white drinking fountains and black drinking fountains and all these things. And then these white ladies were getting mad at her, saying like, you are a horrible human because these Jews were being put into concentration camps. And she just put out and just like, hey, you're not standing up for the black people in your community. You're not doing this. And they're like, well, and kind of justified it. So I thought that was such a poignant argument and such an interesting thing. Like I said, a little bit of language, but I just loved seeing this German woman's perspective of her life and living underneath Nazi control when you disagreed with it, and how you try to live a life like that. So not for little kids, but fantastic book. Okay. This one was recommended by my lovely client, Beth, who, she is just a treat. And so anyways, I fell in love with this. So it's called Beneath a Scarlet Sky by Mark Sullivan. And this is Italy, and talking about Italy in World War II. And it is the true story of Pino. And I'm saying that's right. And that's a nickname for him, but he goes by it in the whole entire book. And it is beautiful. So Tess and I read this one, and like, I busted through it in a few days. Tess maybe took a couple weeks because she remembers to live her life and not just dive into a book. But it talks about like his parents trying to keep him safe. And then when he gets old enough, like, right, Italy was part of the Axis power. So when these boys turned a certain age, they were supposed to enlist into the army, which were then getting shipped off to the front lines of Germany fighting Russia, and all these boys were just dying, and like, he had to play these games and falls in love and everything that comes with it. And oh my goodness, it's beautiful. This book is definitely a mature teen or an adult. There's some language in there. But holy cow, I just, once again, when people stand up to tyranny and stand up against things that are so wrong in their best way that they know how, I love it. There was one semester where I taught a Knights of Freedom course. If you've done, what are those, Lemmy classes? And I laughed because every single book was like William Tyndale, and I think it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I can't remember the other one, but it was like, oh, well, sometimes we've got to stand up for what's right, even if it's like what Hitler did was quote unquote legal. I mean, that's not a quote, but like, even though what he did was legal, you know, it's wrong, right? To murder people and kill people and hate people at such a degree like that. So I really love books that have that spark and that courage and that willingness to stand up for what's right. So this next book is, it's actually more of, how would I describe this? So it's called How You Kill 11 Million People and Why the Truth Matters More Than You Think by Andy Andrews. And it's a very, very short book. And I believe Tess and Brigham both read this one. And so it's talking about, it does like, so it mentions the Holocaust and like how could you kill 11 million people? So it's a little bit of a political book, of how they got there, but a very, very poignant book. So you may want to check that one out for yourself. I think it was somebody in a co-op class that recommended that one. So love that one. Okay. And if you're going to read World War II, here's another one that I just love. Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. Now, Viktor Frankl, if you are not aware, was a Jewish man and was a, I always like, he's a therapist, but I like, he might be a psychotherapist or something like that. But, psychiatrist, there we go. A psychiatrist, and he actually gets sent to a concentration camp. And these, I mean, just gem after gem. And he does not go into the horrors of a concentration camp. And he actually skips over those things. And like, that's not my purpose, but that everything can be taken away from you, but your ability to choose. And I mean, so many gems I love from him, that in that, like, there's a space between stimulus and response. And in that space is our freedom to choose, right? Just amazing quotes, like Google Viktor Frankl quotes and you'll be blown away. And so this one's beautiful. I love this one. Sometimes my kids with books like this are like, that was a little deep for me. I don't understand it, right? But like, I love like just little things like this, like meaning of suffering. In some way, suffering ceases to be suffering at the moment it finds meaning, right? So here's a man who endured one of the most horrific events in history. And he was like, I gave my suffering meaning, and like it ceases to be suffering then. So that's just a fantastic book. Neither of my kids read it this semester. My kids have read it in the past. I think Tessa's read it before. But obviously we're reading a ton of books. So my last two books actually kind of go on like what happened after the war. And like Russia took over quite a bit of Eastern Europe. And so like you could get into the Cold War if you wanted. And we kind of touched on that in a little bit and talking about Stalin's reign. We read about Stalin the month before. So my kids had a good understanding of Russia and Russia's role in the war. So these two books, I will do this one first. The first one is another historical fiction. And this is the Berlin Wall. Right. And so this is after World War II. Russia has now taken over parts of Eastern Europe and they're all underneath the communist control. And Berlin has a wall right put up right between it. And it's called A Night Divided. So A Night Divided by Jennifer A. Nielsen, and just a fantastic book of really like historical fictions are just so good to get people excited about history. I was, and I've talked about this before, I was a horrible student. I hated most subjects. And it's so interesting. Like now I mean, I've read every single book that I'm talking to you about, and I didn't read them all this semester, but I've read all these books and I just like, I can't get enough of history, and it's so exciting and engaging. And it's books like that that really helped me to see that history can be a ton of fun, and not that I think war is fun, but that they can be very moving and powerful and all those types of things. So the last book, which also goes with after the war, is Brother Andrew. So another Christian Heroes Then and Now, Brother Andrew, God's Secret Agent by Janet and Jeff Bench. And I love Brother Andrew. So I believe he's passed away now, but when I bought this book, he was still living. So that was kind of fun. When my big boys have read this, Tess has read this, Brigham has read this, we just love this. And he, like when Russia's underneath communist control, right, a lot of that was banning Bibles and learning about God and different things like that. And Brother Andrew was smuggling Bibles into beyond the Iron Curtain. And I love, like, he didn't ever want to lie and he didn't want to like be dishonest. And so it's so interesting. So it says this quote, "Lord, make seeing eyes blind," Andrew prayed as the two border guards emerged from the guardhouse and asked him to step out of his car. One guard opened Andrew's suitcase, and as he moved aside some shirts, there in plain view were the gospel tracts. Andrew's palms grew clammy. A person carrying such material would be arrested on the spot. So just his faith in God of like fulfilling his mission. So his mission was to smuggle in Bibles beyond the Iron Curtain and giving people hope and love and like there's more to life than this, and having this faith in Christ and all these beautiful, beautiful things. So now you can see why, like, I could not do this with reels. I had too many books that I loved. So I will be uploading this all to my book list so that you can be familiar with these. As like you go look through these things, I would suggest reading some of the reviews to see if it's something that you are comfortable with in your own home. Some of these books do contain swearing, or I mean, war is not, a soft and light topic. And so if you're like, well, this just seems a little bit intense, you may want to check back and say, like, maybe my kids aren't ready. So I will add one last thing with this, that as we were studying these things, I don't ever want my children to be like, wow, Russia's evil because of Stalin, or Germans because of Hitler, or because of Mussolini, Italians, whatever. So our read alouds a lot of times were German folktales and Italian stories and Russian stories of like the beautiful people and these wonderful humans that just happened to live underneath the reign of somebody with like evil desires and doing bad things, so that my children can like, we can, I want to teach my children to love all people. So part of with this, with our read alouds, we did so many fun fairy tales and so many things of just the beauty of these people and like fighting for what's right and all these types of things. So to help my children to see, like, if something were to happen here, we can also be that type of person that loves, that we can be accepting of other people, that we can do all those types of things, and that we can stand up for what's right. And God's law is higher than man's law. So anyways, those of you studying World War II, there you go. And if you have any more books to add to it, email them to me and I'll go buy them myself and read them, because I will love it. So thank you. Have an amazing day.
Are you ready to take the concepts learned on this podcast to the next level? Then I invite you to join Mama's Members, a place where I will help you succeed in your family and homeschool beyond what you thought was possible. You will have access to hours of content, a place to ask questions, and weekly coaching calls to help you be the amazing homeschool mom you are called to be. To sign up, go to www.coachmegthomas.com/join. I can't wait to see you there.